You're listening to Waters Church Podcast, where faith meets real life. We're one church, many locations, and one mission, to see lives changed by Jesus. No matter where you're listening from, you are a part of Waters Church family. Now, let's dive into today's message from our pastor.
How are you today? Listen, can we just take one moment? Okay, 6 or 7 or 8 moments, and just thank the worship team and the tech staff, because, you know, we shouldn't take this for granted, right? The quality of the sound, it just makes everything so much easier. It makes it easier to worship Jesus. And so thanks to everybody. So look, I've wrestled since last night with as my tradition is to open the service with a joke about Pastor Tim. And I decided not to do that. But I did feel like, especially with the 10 o'clock crowd, we've got this relationship. I know I can do it with you. So this is a true thing. It's a real thing that happened, right? So I turned 64 in December. I know I don't look my age. But anyway, last night in the hotel, I get in, I'm going to have a shower, I splash my face, I'm looking in the mirror, and it's got this almost 3D kind of effect. And I'm looking in the mirror, and suddenly I'm like, man, that is a big nose. And I kind of do this, and the thought comes to my mind, a small family of squirrels could live under there. You know, that's a monster. And then I start laughing at myself because I have this relationship with my own sense of humor. And then I thought, all right, I've got to find a way to spiritualize this ridiculous story, which I know when my wife sees this, however good the message is, she's going to go, if you only hadn't opened with that ludicrous, embarrassing story, it would have been great. But any of you struggling with big noses, you know what? God gave these to us, okay? So everybody else can get lost. Anyway, on a much more spiritual note, today we are talking about living in God's seasons. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to verse 8, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is post-resurrection. The disciples of Jesus, they've accepted that he's been raised from the dead. They're excited that now their warrior king, if he's conquered death, he can conquer any enemy. He is going to drive the Romans out and restore the nation of Israel back to its own statehood. So the answer he gives them basically ignores their question, their direct question, and says something so much more larger and more important. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So in these two verses, we learn two key lessons for our lives today in God. Number one, we learn that times and seasons were designed by God and ordered of God. They are His plan. They are according to His intention and according to His purpose. He controls them. His eternal purposes are worked out within the context of His times and seasons. So the implication, Jesus is saying, listen, you worried about a temporal earthly solution. I'm telling you that my Father, the God who created the heavens and the galaxies, and you as well, who is bringing us into a new season of the Holy Spirit, there's much bigger stuff going on here than you getting your country back. And the second lesson we learn is whatever season that he is calling you to, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the purposes that he has ordained for that particular season. So let's get a better understanding of seasons and what God intends with them and how he uses them in our lives. So in Genesis 1:14, let's go right back to the beginning. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons," there's that phrase again, "and for days and years." So in the creation story, he's literally saying, listen, God made the sun and the moon and of course the stars, and they divide the day from the night and the days and the years, because my God is a God of order, and this world is going to be run according to seasons, what we call the four seasons. So each season, we know this from our own experience, right? But it's true, we understand this in Scripture, that each season has its own unique attributes and purpose. Of course, summer is different to winter, for example. But we also know that the seasons God has created work together perfectly as a whole, and each season is vitally necessary. Even winter in the Northeast, apparently, no, I'm sorry, Lord, even the winter in the Northeast has a purpose and a plan in God's intentions. If you remove one, every other season becomes dysfunctional. So in other words, they're all uniquely valuable, but they're also codependent and all equally necessary. I don't know if you're like me. I love summer. I love heat. Couldn't be hot enough. I married a woman that we've been together for now over 40 years who's literally the opposite. Doesn't look forward to summer. Can't wait for it to be over. The first signs of chilly weather in the fall. Oh, hallelujah. God is alive. First snowfall, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, oh no, how many more months are we going to have of this? I mean, literally opposite. How many of you are married to your exact opposite? Thank you. I pray for the men. I mean, I pray for all the couples. Somehow, God in his plan has made it that most of us are married to the exact opposites, which is mostly fun. Wink, wink. Anyway, so we also know that a season represents a very specific timeline in God's plans, and that there is a limited amount of time for that season to accomplish what God designed it for. And by the way, when it's over, right? When summer's over, as much as you wish for another summer in the middle of winter, you know, flying down to Florida for a week is a temporary fix, but it's not replacing, you can't undo what you're in. And so seasons by design cannot be rushed. They cannot be exchanged. You can't just go, hey, we had a wonderful fall. I'd like us to now just go into another spring instead of winter. And I'm sure that you're working out by now that the seasons that we have in nature are a metaphor and a model for the seasons we have in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. There are really two kinds of seasons, I think. And in Ecclesians chapter 3, verse 1, there are these profound words. You know, Ecclesiastes is that chapter that when you're a younger Christian, you sort of skip over it for all the reasons we know, right? But as you mature, as you get older as a Christian, you end up understanding that it's actually one of the three most important books in the Bible, and definitely one of the most profound. And if you really want to understand how the world works, dig into Ecclesiastes. But in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season." To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Well, who's seated on the throne in heaven? God the Father. who's seated at his right hand, the place of authority, Jesus the Son. And so what the scripture is already prophesying before Jesus comes and ascends to heaven, he's saying, listen, God sits in heaven and every purpose under them, which is ordained by them, happens within a season. So there are two kinds of seasons, I would say. There are the seasons of our lives, and I think of the season of my life, your life, really has four portions to them, like the four seasons in nature. There's first the season of growth. You're born, you're a baby, you're a kid, you become a young adult. Let's say from your birthday until about 18, 19. Then there's a season of establishment or survival. Finish high school, go to college, get a career, join the army, start a business, whatever it is that you're doing. But really, until you're about probably, I would say, mid-30s, you're finding yourself. You're trying to understand who you really are and what you're good at. And, you know, maybe you end up meeting your life's partner and you settle down, you get a house. And then you enter what I would call a season of accumulation. You start getting promotions. You get the dog and the cat. God bless you if you have a cat. You get the dog and the cat. You get the apartment, the house. You get the cars. You do all those things that we typically are encouraged to do and that we do. You accumulate. You're finally making something of your life. Then you get to your last season, which is the season of distribution. You get to about 55. For some, maybe it's 60, 65. You wake up one morning and you realize your parents have gone. A sibling has gone, maybe a family member, friends that you worked with, somebody you grew up with, and you realize that this life is not forever here on earth, and one day you're going to give it all away or it's going to be taken from you when you're dead, and your kids are not going to want all the things that you spent so much time accumulating. And you can't be angry with them because you'll be in heaven worshiping Jesus, but you are tempted to leave them a note and say, if you sell my guitars. But anyway, but you do. You realize that things mean nothing. And so when you're in your distribution phase, your life should be. But you come to a place where you just want to share everything and it's become so much easier to give stuff away because you realize that you're not taking it with you. But within the context of this umbrella of the season of our lives that lasts, each of them lasts for decades, there are seasons in our lives. These are shorter seasons, and we go through many different seasons in our lives. Singleness, marriage, children, parenting, grandparenting, struggle, blessing, business, work, military, whatever it may be. And they might last a few months, they might last a few years, but they're smaller seasons, small picture seasons, if you wish. And they happen during the seasons of our lives. And here's the key, friends. Once you work out which season you're in, life becomes so much simpler. Let me explain that. For example, I'm now fully, personally, in the distribution season of my life, right? The purpose and my responsibility of the season is to freely give away everything I learned in my previous seasons. And even when I'm learning, while I'm in the season, my job is to, as quickly as I can, share it with as many people because, as I said, I'm not taking anything with me. I have to leave behind what God taught me and blessed me with in my previous seasons in the hope that it'll do two things: bring glory to God and bring good to people. Because that needs to be my legacy. Because that was how Jesus lived. His life was only about two things. His life, if it was a coin, the one side is giving glory to his Father every opportunity, every day of his life, and bringing the goodness of God into the lives of the people that he touched and ministered to. And so I have to adjust my thinking and my behaviors to the season that God has me in right now. I don't wake up in the morning, it's a struggle, but I typically don't wake up going, this is what I'm going to do. Lord, can you adjust to what I'm doing and please make it happen? No, as a servant and as a child of his, understanding that he's the God of the seasons, including the God of this season of my life, I come before him and I say to him, Lord, what do I need to change in my thinking, in my feelings, in my behavior, in my language, in everything that will fulfill the purposes that you have already ordained for this particular season? Because God is the only one who has seen my whole life already. You know, Psalm 139 tells us, verse 13 or 14, it says that before I have lived one day of my life, God has seen them all. So, of course, it makes sense that he ordains certain seasons for my life because he sees all the pieces of the puzzle that make up my whole life, which he blessed me with. Of course, I should be going to him and saying, which piece are we working on this week or this month or this year? And I know that when I stand before God one day, I'm going to have to give an account for this particular season. And that my heavenly reward will be based on the level of my distribution. How much did I give away? How many people did I bring good to that caused them to give glory to God in the season that I'm in now? But that's one of my big picture seasons of my life, distribution. But for example, one of the seasons in my life is grandparenting. You may have heard me talk about this before because it's my favorite subject. Any opportunity I have my four grandsons that are on my lock screen, and I am that annoying guy truly at the store that if I see somebody who looks like they're my age, they usually look older than me, but if I think it's, you know, and I see them with a little kid, I assume it's their grandchild, and I'm that guy who walks up to them, that annoying stranger, and I take out the phone because of the world we live in today so that they don't think I'm just a random weirdo. And I go, hey, I'm also a grandparent. And they kind of have no option but to smile and pretend they're interested, because how can you resist a picture of four beautiful little boys? And I go, oh, how old is she? Or how old is he? And we end up having this conversation, right? They just mean so much to me, but I'll tell you why. It's not just because they're my grandkids. It's not just the familial relationship. With each of my grandsons, starting my very first one, the very first time that I held him, God the Father spoke to me in the depths of my soul and said to me, I'm going to hold you responsible, along with Steve and Bianca, for Caden's spiritual development. I have given you to him, not him to you. I expect you to speak to him about me and to tell him what I've done in your life and to share the scriptures with you. So I'm very conscious that one day the Lord is going to say to me, how did it go with Caden? And that's going to be true with all of the grandsons. So in the season of grandparenting, as long as my grandson is interested in being together with me, which currently he still is. Listen, my eldest is 7 going on 15. Oh, my word. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. But like my daughter was, always years ahead of her age, so I've been through this before, I learned from that season. You know, in some ways, he's just a 7-year-old boy. But when you have conversations with him, so many people have remarked, wow, he's so intelligent, his grammar. The thing is, though, in his mind, because he's a little bit advanced, not just because my grandkid, truly is true, you know, stuff that used to be funny 6 months ago, he looks at you and goes, really? At seven. So I want to say to my daughter, God bless you. Anyway, so why is this? Why is this, all of this about seasons, so important to understand? The reason is that so much of our life, of our lives, is about expectations. Do you know that you wake up every morning with a whole list of expectations inside you? Oh, yeah. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Expectations of God, sometimes forgetting that He has expectations of me, of us, expectations from yourself and from those around you, both at home and both at work. And you know what? I wish that when I was in my 20s, somebody had said to me at some point, listen, you have to learn how to live with your expectations and to filter which are legitimate and born of purpose and which are unnecessary and born of a selfishness in the flesh and sin, and never confuse those two. Because so much of the way you spend your time, your energy, and your money is going to be about trying to satisfy expectations, whether they are real and authentic or just selfishly made up. And we understand from Scripture that God has expectations of us. Here's the good news. God has expectations which are lived out within the context of our life seasons. And those life seasons, He has already pre-planned and ordained for us. And the sooner that I go to Him and say, Lord, what season do you have me in, Father? Then I can follow that with and say, and what do you expect of me during this season? When we look at the life of our Lord Jesus, you know, He makes it plain that He didn't do or say anything that He hadn't first heard from the Father. Jesus used to daily go to meet with His Father, find out what the Father had planned for Him that day, and then only do those things. The priests, the people who were following Him, and most of all His disciples, were constantly frustrated with Him because He wouldn't do what they wanted. Some had political expectations, some had spiritual, most of them had practical. Can you feed us? Can you heal us? Why didn't you? Why did you do him but not that one, etc.? And Jesus' answer was, I only do what I see the Father do. In other words, He's the one that runs my life. I find out what He requires of me, and I just do that. We often have expectations of ourselves, and these also should be shaped by our seasons. Because I've understood the various seasons that I'm in my life, the seasons in my life right now, essentially, it's family, it's church, it's work, and then it's a handful of young men that I'm mentoring. I really have four seasons in my life. I'm able to measure out the time, money, energy, love, whatever that I give according to the seasons that I find myself in. It becomes so much easier for me to say no to things that are not within God's expectations of me, but I have to say yes to the things that I know God does want of me. Does that make sense? Whether it's for my own selfish desires, I was planning a trip overseas. I was going to go hiking in the Italian Dolomite Mountains. I turned 65 in December, and my wife very graciously said to me, why don't you take 2 weeks? I know this has been a bucket list item. Go and do it. Man, I've trained her so. I mean, she's such a blessing, this woman. It's incredible. Such a blessing. And so I was all excited, started planning last year. There's not a YouTube video on the Dolomites I haven't watched, you know, the whole thing. I speak the language, Italian, so excited, going to reconnect with my heritage, all that stuff. And then in January, I had rotator cuff surgery on my left shoulder. So I've had 51 kidney stones in my lifetime. Three times I thought, I'm going to die in this hospital bed full of morphine or whatever they were giving me. and then I'm going to wake up in heaven because I'm in such pain. Anyway, that didn't happen, thank God. But I got to tell you, this pain was not that far behind. Anybody had shoulder surgery? Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I wasn't prepared for? Sleeping in a chair for 6 weeks. You know that the most important thing in your life, more than anything else, is sleep. What happens to you when you haven't slept properly because you wake up 2 or 3 times a night because of the pain in your shoulder, regardless of the drugs, the painkillers, which you can only be on for the first week or 10 days, and you lose so much sleep? You know what happens to you by week 3? You walk into walls is what happens. Because you're so tired that you misjudge the distance of the door frame. And not that I'm counting, but 7 out of 11 times it was my left shoulder. And then you're not allowed to curse because you're a Christian and God is listening, right? Man, it's so discombobulating, kind of walking around forgetting stuff way more than you usually do. So you know what I did after the end of the first week? True story. I thought about this. God brought this. The Holy Spirit brought this to my memory. And I'm like, wait a minute. The Lord knew that I was going to be in the season of pain and I was going to be chair-ridden. Never thought of that. That just came to me now. That's awesome. Not bedridden, but chair-ridden. And I'm going to drift in and out of sleep. Not going to be able to do much work for the first 2 weeks. My boss was very kind. Said, stay at home, get better. And what I decided to do was ask the Lord, what is the purpose of the season? You knew it was coming. And the answer I got was, I want you to be in the scriptures more than you've ever been before. What? I want to show you new things. But for you to receive them, you have to position yourself to be in a place that I can give them to you. I have ordained this season because I want to tell you something that you are going to need to know for the rest of your life on earth, and it has everything to do with you serving me. Suddenly, my whole perspective changed. Didn't care about the lack of sleep. When I was awake, I was sitting with my Bible and my notepad. You know, I've been saved by God's grace for 42 years. Nearly 43 years. And those of you who've been saved a long time, you know that after a while, you almost unconsciously but subtly develop a kind of spiritual arrogance. It goes something like this. Oh, I can't believe the pastor's talking about this again. I've heard this message 15 times. I know everything this guy is going to say. Start reading a book. Oh, my word. Is there nothing new in this? And you become almost cynical, but because you also know you're saved by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God and His kindness, you don't realize that you're kind of on the slippery slope. And then sometimes God has to interrupt your own selfishness for your own good to bring you back to your first love. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone? If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. It'll come because that's how our flesh works. And then the Lord says, come on, let's do away with childish things. Let's become adult. I want to bring you closer to me. I want to take you up the mountain. I want to show you things that you truly have never seen before. And that's what this experience was like for me. So I'm learning still to embrace a season that God puts me in, and to rather, instead of saying, why am I here, and thinking I shouldn't be here, to rather trust that He knows what He's doing with me. He's seen all of my days, has brought me to this place, and to rather be saying to Him, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? And I can tell you this morning that if you find yourself in a difficult or a painful season, truly, even a struggle that is not of your own making, you aren't there because you disobeyed God intentionally, knowingly, and sinned, and now you just have to suffer the consequences. It's not that. But especially if you're like, I'm not sure why I'm here, but man, this is difficult. You can safely assume that as God took the Apostle Paul from one prison to the next and from one lashing to the next, and as he took Jesus through the Garden of Gethsemane and up into the cross, you know, the Lord is clearly not as concerned about our physical well-being as we are. Because any of the greats who serve Jesus, there are people today in Nigeria, in Syria, in Sudan, in different parts of the world who were burned alive or crucified or tortured or whatever just because they refuse to deny the name of Jesus. My point is that God's ways and thoughts are not ours. We know that that's what the scripture tells us. What we do know is that when God takes us into a season, he gives us everything we need for that season. Even in the seasons of nature, everything that summer requires is in summer, right? You look at a tree in the natural world, you look at plants, whatever those seeds need, sunshine, rain, wind, the nutrients in the soil. Think about the fact that in autumn, all these billions of leaves fall off millions of trees onto the ground and become food for the next spring. That if the world missed one autumn, what would the next spring look like? Where would the food for next year come from in the soil? What a perfect plan. And that winter is designed to keep that food, kill a whole lot of germs, and then at the right time, when the earth heats up again, in whichever part of the world it is, that food feeds the seeds that had fallen to the ground the year before, and the rains come, and here comes a whole new set of living things. And isn't it like that in our lives? You might be in a fall season. Your pain and your struggle and the things God is teaching you now are going to be food for the spring that is coming. And trust me, trust God, not me, spring is coming. Every season has a time limit. It has specific purposes God wants to accomplish in it. And he gives you everything that you need for that season. So when we think of expectations, you know, I've learned in my life that right expectations result in health and growth. But wrong expectations result in confusion and struggle and frustration and anger. So let me give you a real life example. In the workplace where I'm at, the average age of our employees is about 31. So these are mostly people who are in their survival season, if you wish, right? Or the establishment season. They're busy trying to build families, build homes, you know. And can I just say this, by the way? What is wrong with us in the quote-unquote modern world that we say to 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, have you decided yet what you're going to do with your life? Do you know how stupid you are when you're 17? What? How thick are we in our 20s? You know what kind of dumb decisions we make? We are so immature. Oh my word, the English have a wonderful saying, which I can't say from the pulpit, so I'm going to change it. It's like, you don't know your apples from your elbow. How can you know? You're a kid. You've just left home. How are we as a society putting so much unhealthy pressure on young people when we should be saying, when kids at 16 go, I don't know what I want to do. We should be going, hallelujah. How can you know? Listen, there are those individuals who know when they're 12, I'm going to be a nurse, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a fighter pilot. I changed my vocation 9 times from 14 to 17. And I'm so proud of it because 7 of the 9, my parents laughed out loud. And I'm glad they did, because one of the two, I ended up going to college to study graphic design because I could draw well naturally. My dad wanted me to be an economist. Even God laughed at that. And then something to do with electronics because it's the future. Oh my word. So here's what I'm getting at. As somebody in my distribution, my last season of my life, I choose to be patient with a generation that is still trying to find and understand themselves. How can I look at a 23-year-old and go, dude, you're a banana. What is wrong with you? Why would you even spend that money? How can I do that? What I should be doing is saying, can I share some of my life experience, the mistakes I made, the good choices that I made, and leave them with you and hope that that helps you? So if I understand the season I'm in, and I understand the season my partner is in, or my family, or my workmates, I can adjust my language, everything, the way I treat people. Most importantly, I can adjust my expectations. I don't expect a 25-year-old to be amazing. Even if I tell them they are, I don't expect them to be that, because how can they be? They're just beginning their lives. Nothing wrong with being 25. It would be great to be 20, but to have the mind and the experience that I have in a 20-year-old body. I know some of you want to laugh out loud. You can. I don't mind. It doesn't hurt me. That's ludicrous. What I can rather do is take what I do know and give it away generously. So, in closing, fundamentally, what we're talking about this morning is not really about seasons. I know the message is called Living in God's Seasons, but here's what I'm really talking about. We're really talking about lordship. This is a message about trust in God, surrender to His will, and obedience to His expectations. It's me living my life within the boundaries of God's seasons for my life, trusting Him that He fully knows what He's doing in me and what He's doing with me. And can I give you the secret to Christian life? This is the secret. It comes from the Bible, of course. Romans 8:28 says, God makes all things work to the good of those who love Him. Right? Those who love Him. If you love God, He makes everything work to the good, comma, that they may be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Let's paraphrase those two verses. God gives us seasons in our lives and gives us everything we need in the seasons of our lives and works those things out and fulfills His expectations for us, comma, so that we may become like Jesus. That's His part of the deal. He does that by the Holy Spirit. Our part of the deal is to do these things. This is how we live in God's seasons. Believe and understand and accept that God does in fact work in seasons, and that His timing isn't ours, but it's always perfect. Number two, ask God to show you what the purpose of the season that you're in right now is. He will tell you. Friends, God is, you know, we think we're good parents or grandparents. We don't even compare to God our Father. The Lord is desiring and aching to tell us what it is that He wants to do with us and in us. Amen. If you go to Him and say, Lord, I'm in a season. I'm in a good season. Everything's working out great. fantastic. In fact, it's really easy. You know what? This message really isn't for me because everything's just phenomenal. Well, that season's going to come to an end. I don't know what's coming next, but every season has a time. So even if everything's doing great, the question is, Lord, what do you have me in this season for? What is your expectation? Number three, stop trying to change the season. If you're in a difficult season, don't try to change. Don't run away from it because you can't unsummer summer. Right? You've got to get through summer before you can get to fall. Number four, enjoy the season and get as much out of it as you can, knowing that God has put a time limit on. The Bible says that we will never be tested beyond what we can endure. So even every season in our life and of our life, God will never ask more of us than He knows we can handle. Number five, take what God does in you during the season, and I encourage you, just give it away, man. You know, I'm such a huge believer in this. Just it shouldn't even be a case of being generous. Just be like Jesus. Just give away everything that God has given you and thank Him for the season. So today when you go home, can you ask the Lord, Lord, which big picture season of my life am I in? Is it growth, survival, accumulation, distribution? Secondly, maybe more importantly, which small picture season of my life? Identify two or three and then say, Lord, what do you expect of me? And then lastly, Lord, what are you trying to do in me? What do I need to adjust in terms of my thinking, my feeling, my behavior that results in two things? On the one hand, glory to God, and on the other hand, good to everybody in my life. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Waters Church Podcast. To learn more, connect with us, or to visit a campus near you, head over to waterschurch.org. We can't wait to see what God will do in your life this week. And join us again next week for more life-changing messages from Waters Church.